just getting these alarms off. You got it. And already it's Tuesday of the first full week of June, and it's Triumph Tuesday. Good evening, everyone. We are joining you tonight at night, right after dinner, although I'm still nibbling. I haven't eaten my whole meal. This is Carol, so AKA Naughty Boss, live with two
sisters. Hey, good evening, everyone. This is Janice, AKA Wellness Diva 5.0, on this Triumph Tuesday at night. And weather to weather the storm. I look at last week's weather, you know, 80, we almost got, you know, in the 80s. And then on Friday, it basically almost hit 90 degrees. And I think at some point we were for a short time. And I do not like turning on, I wasn't even going to thinking about turning on the AC, because when we come downstairs, it's cool enough. So of course, up in the loft, it's very warm, even though we have AC up there. We didn't want to turn it on. We're like, oh, we'll just go downstairs and sleep. So it was like I was at an Airbnb Friday night in my own house, which was, you know, kind of weird. I woke up in the middle of the night like, where the hell am I? And then of course, from Saturday when we attended the wedding, you know, 50s to 60s. And now here we are still 50s to 60s. And we had a very poor high quality air alert because of all the smoke coming down from Canada. In fact, so much so that they've been all day long, you know, air quality alerts, which I've never seen the volume of alerts about the weather. And then the sun, it basically looked like a peach this morning. In fact, we tried to get a picture of it, and it would not capture through our cell phones, but I did see a picture of it on Twitter, and it looked like a peach.
So why are you getting?
Because of the airstream, the airflow.
Really? Yeah. So they have that much pollution in Canada that's echoing into the
No, state? No, no. They had a whole bunch of forest fires.
Oh, okay. I haven't been paying attention to the news. I got this weird shadow. I think it's from the sun.
Yeah, it they've been having really bad forest fires, you know. And in fact, I talked to somebody earlier from Canada. She says, oh, you know, all the forest fires. And I said, yeah, we're getting it here in Connecticut.
Wow, so that's crazy.
Been a very ominous few days. And then of course, this all day today, it reminds me, in fact, I said to Gary tonight, because we got alert about a slight passing shower, it reminded me of when I lived in Florida, and right before a storm where it would get that ominous grayish pea green look.
Yes.
Reminds me of
that. Wow. Well, sorry to hear that. We had a gorgeous day here in Florida. It was probably one of the nicest days, good heat, but not like the humidity was a little bit lower. Which I haven't really noticed the humidity, I think, but maybe one day, but it was just that bright, bright, you know, beautiful blue sky. Clouds didn't come until later in the day. So I was excited to just, you know, take a break from the computer. I've been on the computer like you nonstop. So many different projects going on. But we're talking about Triumph. So you triumphed over, obviously, the bad air quality, which you do have to take seriously, especially someone that suffers from any kind of COPD or asthma, or, you know, any related, airwave issues and breathing issues, because that could be detrimental, especially if you're breathing in that, that's going to irritate your lung, give you that itchy feeling and dry feeling. And then on top of that, you now breathing in this poor quality, which is now getting in your bloodstream. So, you know, my suggestion would be definitely hydrate even more to make sure you're flushing out those toxins. But it is Triumph Tuesday. When we were talking right before we jumped on, I am triping over my cell phone service. So it's not my phone, because it's happening to multiple phones in the house. And ironically, I don't really have an issue from, you know, early morning hours till maybe about 2:30. And then all of a sudden it's this drop call. Or you make a call, and you know how you'll hear the ringing of the phone, you'll hear the connection piece. You don't hear a connection piece. It's almost like it's spinning and then it just dies, but it's red. So I'm at a point really from now until whenever, working with the Chair of Dance Winners Choice Championships and, you know, contacting programs and chatting with them about our events. So I need my cell phone, right? And most people like us do not have a landline anymore. So I'm like, what the bleepity bleep. So, you know, I tried different areas of the house, was not successful. You know, like a light on my nose from the sun. I actually shut the shutters. So, you know, I finally said, this is it. So I go to, and this is so cool how you could turn a, you know, that you had to triumph over something to an actual blessing. So what happened was I went to T-Mobile and, you know, I chatted with the gentleman there and I said, look, you know, I'm an entrepreneur running my businesses. So he said, Joe, give me a few minutes. And, they, you know, as usual, every time I go there, there's a stream of people, right? Just when you need the help. So I finally actually got a signal inside T-Mobile. So I had my list with me of the programs that I had contact. So I just started calling them. And, you know, people were, you know, like, you know, see me, and, you know, waiting to be seen, but yet I'm making these phone calls. And, you know, they're just like, boy, you're so cheerful on the phone. What great customer service. And we don't even know what you're doing, but whatever it is, we'd like to come. So it was funny. It turned around a very frustrating moment, knowing that at least they could hear, you know, the excitement in my voice, my passion about the upcoming season, and really sharing all that is good with this particular company, Winners Choice Championships. It's a really top-notch company. The production is like no other as well, you know, really five-star production, but a fun event. Because a lot of times when you go to these dance events or cheer events, you know, a lot of times the parents are like, oh, you know, another event, two-day event, like blah, blah, blah. Now, what I love about it is we not only really provide a product that really focuses on the athlete, but also making an experience for those that are working with their gym programs, cheer programs. So it also is a great avenue for not only the athlete, but owners and coaches to really have that great experience as well, because they're working. But why not work in a great positive atmosphere? And then to top it off, to really provide a product that the fans and parents and grandparents can have a good time. So I'm really excited about it. So yes, I triumphed over not having proper service, but I managed to get my calls in for today and made some great contacts and you know, really shared the experience. So turning a negative into a positive, you know, really does help our mindset to really give us that little push that we need to kind of triumph over not so good situation and make it into a better situation. Mm-hmm. And you triumphed over the air quality. So we both met our goal of triumphing over something.
That is true. And, you know, as far as Twitter updates go,
I can't wait.
Twitter update.
She's now the Twitter update queen. I love it because I have not had any time, obviously, to pay attention to what's going on.
So we know that a certain news organization seems to be going down the Shite kind of path. Okay. So the first person, obviously, that they got rid of, as we know, is Tucker Carlson. So it's probably been about an hour and a half. So about an hour and a half ago, Tucker was on Twitter doing his first episode called Tucker on Twitter.
Oh, and I like that. It's got a little rhyme to it.
Yes, it does. And at the time when I viewed the video, it had only been up for an hour. There was already 1.3 million views.
Wow, now, you're going to have to send me that link.
Yeah, it's about a 10 and a half minute video. And he's talking about, of course, the dam in Ukraine that was blown up and a few other things and his take on it, which I thought, of course, is always very interesting. Like, what I love about Tucker Carlson is how he says, well, you know, it could be this or it could be this. And he kind of gives obviously his take on it, but all his supporting documentation, so to speak. So I'm very impressed with that. And I think very impressive. You'll see a lot more of him, and he marks it episode one. So,
and that's awesome. The other interesting person on Twitter, which I absolutely love because I love the Kennedy family, is Robert Kennedy Jr. And, you know, he's really, really, and then there's another, what I would consider kind of crazy person going, I believe he's, I can't remember his name, but I think he's going in as an independent. And they're saying, because there's possibly now three candidates, Biden, Robert Kennedy Jr. and this other guy, I can't think of his name. He's got wild hairdo and he's kind of cuckoo, but he is Black American, and he's, you know, they're already saying that he's going to be pulling some of a lot of Black voters over to his corner. And he is very, I think he came up with three or four different pieces, like Ukraine. He mentioned, you know, about four different bullet points of, you know, what he's going to be campaigning on, which anyone can relate to. He seemed a little cuckoo to me in this presentation, but he's onto something. So that's telling Americans that, you know, there are a lot of Democrats that are not pleased with who they're leaning towards, as well as, you know, the polls are definitely stating that, you know, he doesn't have a good rating. You know, he's not in good health.
Yeah,
I want you to share that, but I got to run it. Sorry to get my plug, because I'm on my phone and I just realized I'm on a red battery. So give me two and chat away.
Okay. Well, and of course, now that I am on Twitter on my cell phone, as I just mentioned about Tucker Carlson's Tucker on Twitter episode number one, now has 2.8 million views. It's been shared almost 60,000 times. I think it's, I have to take my glasses off for this one, 58.2. So he's close to it being retweeted almost 60,000 times. 162,000 likes and over 16,000 comments. I was just giving the update on Twitter about Tucker, 2.3 million.
So what were the stats?
2.3 million views.
Wow.
16,000 comments, shared almost, retweeted 60,000 times, and 162,000 comments. I, of course, had to comment as well.
Yeah, it's funny because I'll start reading some of the comments on different things, whether it's on Instagram, Twitter. And I always find it comical. You'll get that one or two people that will say something extremely negative.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I saw some of that.
Yeah. And they'll just, and other people just pounce all over that person like, you know, flies down right. They just, boom, they go.
Yeah, they do. And of course, the other Twitter update that they were showing live is another Republican who's in New Hampshire, who filed his paperwork and is currently in the run for the GOP nomination.
Now, I believe Christie and Pence were supposed to announce.
Christie, that's who was it? I was getting
from New Jersey.
Yeah, the governor, previous governor from New Jersey.
Right. And
so he's in New Hampshire tonight. He's announcing his run officially. And then, like you said, Pence had already filed his paperwork, but he hasn't done the official running for
president. And this is very normal. Everyone was like, why are all these people coming out? You know, they're going to come out. And, you know, obviously, after the first debate, you will see a lot of them back down because they, you know, a lot of them they're, and you really can't, a lot of people talk about the polls at this point, it's way too early. History says, you know, you really got to wait till well into the primary season per se to really, you know, make that mark, because you can't base anything on you know, right now you haven't seen them perform, you haven't seen their platform, other than you're seeing a lot more, obviously, of Trump, who hasn't stopped, and then, you know, DeSantis. But other than that, and the more people that jump in, which this was a great analogy from some newscaster, I don't remember who it was, and they said, you know what I wanted to say is Huckabee. What's the dad's name?
Governor Huckabee.
Yeah, Huckabee. I can't think of what his first name is off the top of my head. But he had said that is a telling tale when you have more and more and more, because everyone thought, okay, this is going to go down to the wire with DeSantis and Trump, that DeSantis is not pulling initially what they initially thought. And that's why you got more people jumping in the ring. But I think it really is just to see. And I think it's a good flavor that we have, a good rounded balance. There's some that I think are going to perform better than most. I can't imagine on the Democrat ticket, if this other gentleman is, I think he's running for an independent. I can't, his name escapes me. I don't know him that well. I've seen him a few times. It must've been a year or two ago, but you know, I can't imagine. I mean, can you imagine, you know, if the current person actually goes to a debate with Robert Kennedy Jr.?
That is very interesting, because one of the things obviously that they were talking about, and especially RFK Jr., Robert Kennedy Jr., was to, that people want to see, I want to see them debate. I want to listen to what all the candidates have to say. And Nikki Haley, who is was in the Trump administration, forgot exactly, I have my notes somewhere, what position she was in. But anyway, she's, you know, also running for the GOP nomination. And she brought up a very interesting fact that a vote for the person currently occupying 1600 is really a vote for the person underneath him, meaning the border czar. I don't even like saying her name.
Right. The other thing that I thought was very interesting was that Robert Kennedy Jr. is spending 2 or 3 days at the border, which, you know, we know that the current duo has not gone to, or they've gone to the furthest point that they can, that's, you know, not really where things are happening. And while when it came down, I mean, let's face it, when the first time around, you know, he had, quote, the advantage, if there's an advantage to the pandemic, he had an advantage to, you know, clearly not come out of the basement. What is he going to do now?
It's not going to work this time.
It's not going to work this time, because people, and he's in from a medical perspective. Again, we're not medical professionals. However, you know, his medical condition has declined. Obviously, that's why you're seeing all these falls and missteps and not knowing where he's going and talking in the air and, you know, no direction. And, you know, obviously he's got an earpiece in for him to get direction, but, you know, imagine being in his physical condition, getting direction through the ear, and also trying to function, you know, walk, talk, whatever. It's very distracting. So, you know, I would be very surprised. I mean, like you said, he can't hide from it, but will he?
I'm sure there will be attempts, because even I think it was when Robert Kennedy was talking about running before he officially announced, they knew he was going to run, but that, you know, the DNC had already said, you know, we're not doing any debates, we're not going to schedule debates.
What a travesty that is for the voter. That is a whole part of democracy and understanding your vote, like where you're going to lean towards. Is the person aligned with your beliefs? Is the person aligned with what you want to see the future of the country going, or the cleanup process, because we're in such a mess? So it surely is going to be a long season of, you know, the political arena. And those are the things that as you get closer, we're going to have to learn how to pivot. We're going to have to learn how to renegotiate. We're going to learn how to triumph over really sorting out the goo, the gunk, the junk, to get to, you know, the facts or get to people's their stance on where they are, their platform. And, you know, I do believe Robert Kennedy Jr. is very well spoken. He's also been a career politician, but he's been different than many career Democrat politicians. He's a little bit different, kind of brings back those glory days, a little bit of the, you know, Kamala era. But he was just his whole family, they no one has, ignored some of the faults of them as politicians. They've made their mistakes just like most people do. I don't know anyone in this world that's perfect. But he does bring in that mystique of the Kennedy Kamala era to a certain degree. And where, you know, he really, you know, everyone's talking about him going against Big Pharma. He's been doing that all along. That has been his platform for many, many years. Decades fighting big, and I say decades, but it's been a long time. I don't know the exact time frame, but he's been fighting Big Pharma for a very, very long time. So he knows his stuff. He was one of the few Democrats that came out really bright and early against what they were trying to put into people's bodies, and successfully did put into people's bodies by fear. By lack of, you know, not really the knowledge. And I always go back to one of the things that he pointed out. He was one of the first ones to come out to say that the Big Pharma had an agreement as part of this platform to get the product out, that the records would be sealed for 50 years. And a lot of people still to this day don't realize that. And that's got to be one of those scratching head moments. That if you're so postured in your product and you stand behind your product, why, what's the end game that you're not releasing the side effects and or issues with it for 50 years? If you're that, because let's face it, with a lot of medication, there are side effects. We know that, we're not foolish. And some people are definitely anti-shot. I am not one of them. I just did not feel, you know, I'm to the point where I haven't trusted Big Pharma in a long time. So, you know, I already said, no, this is, it's coming too fast, too quick. And everyone, the debate on that was, you know, they already had bits and pieces of it together. You know, this is technically nothing new. But then, you know, as the fallout occurred, you know, we have now a lot of families, yours included, that, you know, have had to triumph over possible side effects that, you know, are not released. You can't get, you know, the medical profession as a whole is almost, you know, that's a taboo subject for most of them. And God forbid you actually speak the truth, you're shunned in your profession, which is sad, because we should be trusting those that know best, or at least bring that dynamic of question and research. So, you know, I think Robert Kennedy represents all of that. And he's doing, because he's also on Twitter and he's getting his message out. Mm-hmm. It's nice to see a Democrat come out with some common sense regarding a lot of these issues that have been bothering a lot of people. And a lot of the people, they're upset because obviously we know with different platforms, whether it be social media and or mainstream, that they were suppressing that information. And he's on Twitter and he's going. So hopefully he reaches some people with common sense, or at least be reasonable to hear what he has to say regarding those issues. And he's talked a lot about that. He's talked about some other important issues as well. So we wish him the best of luck. And like you, I'm looking forward to seeing as much from everyone to really narrow that field even more. Everyone says, well, you probably know who you're voting for. Probably. But that doesn't mean I don't want to hear from others. I think from a world stage presence, there's only very few that have that, not very many. The current person kind of flubbed up his performances, let's say, abroad. So we got that going on too. I think definitely, I hope Robert Kennedy gives him a run for his money. I'm rooting for Robert Kennedy Jr. That's what I'm rooting for.
I'm just imagining that if a debate did go forward between him and the person occupying 1600, and by the way, we've often talked about this, but nobody wins a debate, okay?
Yes.
Somebody wins an election, and the winning part that, oh my, I just get so darn aggravated, because everything is subjective in nature, meaning my political views are going to be totally different from somebody else. Therefore, we have objective viewpoints, but it's right. Subjective. Nobody wins. So anyway.
Right. And I know that, and they do that. We declare this. And then of course they usually have a rebuttal after that from, you know, the opposing party or whatever, like as if it was, you know, an election. And the bottom line, there is so much truth to that. This is where you just see them. You should be grading them on their performance, grading them on how well do they articulate. Now, obviously, the very few times that you heard the person currently in the People's House, everything was very coached, very rehearsed. He had the questions ahead of time. And a lot of people say, oh, no, he didn't. Like, there's too much information out there. They're actually very blatant about giving him the information, just like if he's taking a few questions. He knows who he's calling on. He's got a earpiece in his ear. So we know all that stuff's going on. It's like second nature now. So I would like to see how someone performs on questions that they don't have something new, which has always been done. They haven't done it in a long time, of not having that prepare for all avenues of subject matters and bullet points of your platform, but really a more natural, spontaneous, you got the question, you got an answer, and you got X amount of, two minutes, whatever it may be. And that's where you get a really good understanding of how well they think on their feet, how they perform under, this kind of pressure, because while this is pressure, there's other much bigger pressures out there to this position. So you'll get an insight how postured they are, how poised they are, how they articulate, which is very important without the fluff, without the polishedness of it. And that was one thing that when Obama ran the first time, I was very much impressed with his performance. Me now, too. After I saw his, lived through his 4 years, I didn't care for him from a political perspective. I thought he was detrimental to the country. And I still think that, because that's when a lot of stuff started coming into play of what's going on in our school systems now and everything else. However, he was very polished, but that's what he's been groomed to do since he was very young. And that's why when a lot of people say, Trump, he's rough around the edges. Well, he's a businessman. He was never groomed to be this polished politician. And that's as rough as it is. And as much as, yes, like other people, sometimes I cringe what comes out of his mouth. He still delivered on his platform. He still delivered on things that he said he was going to do and then some, while he was under duress, emotional duress. Like, he still functioned. He still, you could see how much he loves our country. You could see the authenticity of him, embracing and working long hours. He's a workhorse, not like, lights out at 6:30, 7 o'clock at night in the People's House, which is currently been going on. So people like to turn a blind eye to that, but it's important to look at their performance and how they react to questions. And the other flip side of that is, because then they get rebuttal time, because that's where you see them kind of like nitpicking at each other, and maybe some sparks fly, maybe some sarcastic remarks come, but you also see again their wit, how well they can focus on the people that are doing the questions to them, as well as communicating with those around them, and really debating that person or a rebuttal is a good indication of, again, you're not voting on who won. It's more like who performed the best under these kind of circumstances.
Right. And that is certainly extremely stressful. And speaking of Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Roger Stone, who is a Magadonian, and by the way, that's like a new term phrase for us, you know, for MAGAs.
What is it?
Magadonians.
Magadonians. It almost sounds like a donut or croissant.
It does.
Magadonians. It does. Good Lord.
Or maybe a cruller, because the other day it was National Donut Day. But anyways, Roger Stone, who yesterday on Twitter, wrote, "Who really killed JFK? Yes, it was, as Robert F. Kennedy Jr. says, the CIA, but it was also the mob and Big Texas Oil. But the man running the show in Dallas on November 22nd, 1963 was LBJ. So Roger Stone wrote this book called, I got to take my glasses off, The Man Who Killed Kennedy, The Case Against LBJ. And it has a picture of LBJ on it, almost as a, when they take your photos when you get arrested, like one of those.
Okay, so a lineup picture.
Yes, a lineup picture. Thank you.
Wow, that sounds like an interesting book to read. So it's called Who Killed JFK?
It's called The Man Who Killed Kennedy. And then the subline is The Case Against LBJ.
Yeah, I heard that years ago, the CIA, LBJ. I mean, obviously, you know, why don't they, you know, release this information? I mean, is it always going to be? And I always go back to the movie, it was the one with Sean Connery, the prison. I can't think of it. The big prison in California.
Alcatraz.
Yeah, but they called it whatever the nickname of it was. And he's in it, he's a star, but also Nicolas Cage. And at the very end, Sean Connery's, you know, escaping to not be, you know, back in jail or whatever. And he plays an English or British spy almost. And he gives a clue to Nicolas Cage. And, you know, then he disappears. So when Nicolas Cage finally gets off the island, of course, the FBI is like, where is whatever the character of Sean Connery's name was? And he goes, he's gone. He just like blew up, you know, he vaporized. And I remember the detective or, you know, the chief, it was such a funny line. But then at the very end, you see Nicolas Cage and his girlfriend, who was played by that sweet girl that was on General Hospital. I can't think of her name. Vanessa something, or I don't know, but anyway, so he goes to the address that Sean Connery tells him to go to, and there is a microfilm under one of the pews, and you see him running out because he, you know, goes under the pew, and then he runs, and the pastor or whatever yells out, you know, you hooligan or whatever. So he's, you know, she's driving, I think she's driving the car, and he's like looking real quick at the microfilm, and she says, "Oh, baby, tell me," and he says, "You know about who killed JFK," and it always reminds me that, you know, they have the information. You know, there's been so many books written on it. There's been so much evidence, and you know, I think it's about time to put it to rest. But I believe part of it is that control piece, you know, against Americans. They're not going to, you know, get the information out, which I think is ludicrous at this point. He's been, you know, dead for so many years. Like, there's so much rumors out there, and some very factual, some kind of chaotic. Just let the people know.
Right.
That would be one of the mysteries. I mean, again, we have our opinions and you know, kind of, you know, circumstances where we think we know. But I think that would be one of the greatest mysteries to be revealed. I think they should do it. What do you think?
I absolutely do think, like, you know, it's definitely past 50 years, you know, release all the information. I don't know how much has been released. I don't know the stats on any of that, but, you know, when people look back at history, like in our lifetime, for instance, all the different events that have happened, you tend to go back to them for whatever reason. Like, what can I learn? Is there something that I'm not aware of? What can I learn from this? So we need to just release it. And that's going to be, I'm going to have to get that book.
Yeah, I wrote it down. I'm going to have to go search for it, because that would be something that, you know, I love a good mystery. Speaking of Netflix series, as you know, John like rifled right through Night Agent. I saw like the last three or four episodes, so I've got to go back to watch the whole thing. But I recently learned that Manifest has another season in them, and I believe it's out now, which I haven't seen that in a while. So I thought that was really cool, because those are the kind of episodes that are not too long, but they're just, I say mindless. They're mindless in the sense that it you're engrossed in the characters, and you're kind of forgetting about the characters that are in our lives in real life. So it's a little a brain break from all that nonsense.
Yes, absolutely so. And on that note, you know, what are you triumphing over today, this evening? You know, go to our website, www.2twosistas.online. Or is it at online? Anyways,
yes, it's dot online. But before we go, before we sign off, I also want to give a big shout out to Jamie Publico. We had her on as a guest, who's running for school committee in Dudley. And tonight is her candidate night. She's probably right in the middle of it right now. So awesome. We're sending out good vibes. The election is going to be June 12th in Dudley. So I'm hoping we can squeeze in kind of a follow-up podcast with her to see how things went tonight. But we're sending out good vibes to Jamie Publico. Get out there and vote. I think the complacency of so many people do not realize, you know, when you think about it, if you got a, you know, town of 8,000, 9,000, 10,000, and only a couple hundred show up, it's not a really good showing. So hopefully they get a good audience. And I know she's very well prepped, prepared. She's done her homework. And so Two Sistas is wishing her all the best tonight. And I'll follow her to see how she did. I'm sure she's going to do amazing.
Wonderful. And on that note, we bid you farewell for this evening. My name is Janice, aka Wellness Diva 5.0 with Two
Sistas. And this is Carol Sue, aka Naughty Boss. I have to say that a little bit slower because it always comes up as naughty. Well, I can be that too. But anywho, we will see you tomorrow. We have a guest on tomorrow for Wealth Wellness Wednesday.
Right, at 10 a.m.
At what time?
10 a.m.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I was about to say 10 a.m. I'm like, I want to make sure that's the right time because it's not in front of me. So we will see you tomorrow. It's one of our favorite days of the week. A lot of people, it's a favorite day because they call it hump day. We call it Wealth Wellness Wednesday, which we will see you tomorrow. Have a good night, everyone. Go out there, triumph over something. You know you can. You know you will. Just be positive about it. With that, we'll see you tomorrow. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.